in an uncertain world.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
This is going to be fascinating. It's very rare on the Paracast that we actually let you hear the witnesses of the case unless we have the witnesses on, of course. We're listening to the incredible, frightening encounter in his youth, a young man in his 20s, Donald Shrum being confronted by possible alien beings, a robotic creature, being shot gas. What a mess. Noe Torres and Ruben Duarte are putting it all together. Okay, guys, in our final portion of the show here, tell us, after this, where did this go? What happened next?
Well, as we heard in the last clip before the break, Mr. Shrum passed out when he saw another robotic-looking creature come up to the base of the tree, and the two robots faced each other. There was a flash of light that came between them, and then a tremendous volume of vapor, much more than he had previously experienced, came up and engulfed the entire tree and knocked him out for what could have been hours. He doesn't know exactly how long he was out, but when he came to, it was nearly daybreak, and there was no sign of the creatures. They were gone. Everything was still, and he was hanging by this military belt that he had draped around the trunk of the tree, and he was just hanging there, head down, in the tree. And
how far up was he?
He was approximately 8 or 9 feet off the ground, I believe.
He's really lucky that he didn't fall.
Right.
Boy.
Well, wait a minute. He said he climbed to the top of the tree. How tall was the tree?
That's a really good question. Do you remember the height of the tree, Ruben?
No. I think it was about, based on the height of the, on the picture, so I would say it's about at least 30 feet. There was another item that Don had shared with us. He said when he had first climbed up that tree, he had noticed that there were bear claws on the bark already. So anyway, the thing that Don had shared with us was that when he initially climbed up that tree, he noticed there were a number of bear claws markings on it. So that tree has been visited before. The other thing that was really interesting is that tree was on a ledge of a canyon. He actually thought of jumping off, and he didn't want to be captured. That's what it was going through his mind. He was going to jump down to the canyon floor. But what changed his mind was the fact that he had, as Noe had mentioned earlier, a young baby girl who was about a year old and a young wife, and this is what motivated him to survive.
All right. Now, what happened to his two friends?
Okay, that's a very good question. It fits in here very nicely because the initial appearance of the mothership coming down from the Earth's atmosphere and hovering over Mr. Shrum's position, that was witnessed by one of the other hunters that was with him. Although he was physically separated by a couple of miles, he was at another place in the forest. He saw that mothership arriving out of the sky, and unbeknownst to him at that time, this was Mr. Shrum's friend, Vincent Alvarez, who later filed a written affidavit stating that he saw the initial appearance of the mothership. Unknown to Mr. Alvarez at the time, when he saw the object zoom across the sky and then go and stop somewhere up ahead, he didn't realize that ship was now right at the position where Mr. Shrum was located at that time. The third hunter had made his way back to the base camp that they had established earlier in the day, Tim Trueblood, who was a resident of Loomis, California. So he had made his way back to camp, and eventually Mr. Alvarez also joined him at the base camp, and they were unaware of what was going on just a few miles away in the tree where Mr. Shrum was fighting off these strange creatures.
So they got to see the ship or whatever it was, but they never knew until they talked with him later what
right.
Donald had encountered.
That's correct. Now, when he came down from the tree, he saw all the stuff that he had thrown down, you know, the night before he found his arrowheads, and he kind of stumbled his way back toward the camp. And about halfway back to where the camp would have been, he basically passed out from fatigue. But at that time, his buddies were already looking for him, and Vincent Alvarez was the one who found him in the brush, helped him back to camp. And he told them a little bit of the story, but then he basically fell asleep for 6 hours. And it wasn't until, you know, after he woke up that he finally told them. And at that point, Mr. Alvarez realized that the ship that Mr. Shrum had seen was the very ship that he also witnessed coming down out of the sky.
I just have one question that occurs to me here. Did Mr. Shrum ever have any feeling that something else happened, maybe transpired while he was knocked out?
Now, that's a very good question, because that's exactly what plagued him for a long period of time after this. In addition to suffering ill effects that today we would call post-traumatic stress syndrome, he had screaming nightmares where he'd wake up covered in sweat. His wife testified to he had a lot of trouble, nightmares about these beings that he saw in the forest that night. But in addition to all that, they were very concerned that perhaps, you know, as far as he knew, he blacked out that last time and he was out for a long period of time, that perhaps the creatures had finally gotten to him, you know, done whatever they wanted to with him, and then just left him there in the tree. And that was a great matter of concern until he underwent hypnosis at the behest of UFO investigator Paul Cerny, the late Paul Cerny, in 1967, which was 3 years after the event. They had a session of hypnosis in the Shrum's home arranged by Mr. Cerny. And they took him back. They regressed him to the incident in the forest. They had him view the whole thing from the perspective of a detached observer looking down at the events. And it was at that point that it became clear to Mr. Shrum that the creatures had never reached him, and that they had departed shortly after he was finally blacked out for the last time.
That's really important.
I guess he was also really lucky.
It was after that you know, that session of hypnosis was what put his mind at ease, because up until that point, he was extremely fearful that they would come back for him, or that they might have done something to him, maybe implanted something in him. But the hypnosis gave him the confidence, the peace of mind, that they had never actually reached him at all. That was a strong impression that he got as a result of reliving the experience.
Parenthetically, did he ever have any further UFO encounters throughout his life?
Actually, he did, and there were instances. There was one instance where the family was camping, Mr. Shrum, Mrs. Shrum, and some friends, not at the Tahoe National Forest, but at another location. It was a family camping trip, and they were sitting around the campfire one evening talking, totally not related to UFOs or anything. I mean, it had been a while since this incident had happened. They had kind of put it out of their minds as best they could. But while they were talking around that campfire, all of a sudden, Mr. Shrum was like in mid-sentence when all of a sudden he turned around, and everybody that was sitting around the campfire noticed that he was staring off behind him at a ridge. There was a ridge nearby. And so he was looking, and he was kind of holding one of his ears, and all of a sudden, over the ridge zoomed this glowing UFO that passed right over their camp. And all of the members of that camping party saw this. And after it had zoomed past them and gone past, they asked Mr. Shrum, how was it that he, you know, that he had turned prior to the appearance of this object? And he told them that he knew they were coming. He had heard this vibration in his ear, which nobody else that was there heard.
Well, I'll get into more of that in a moment. They were not good vibrations. Noe Torres joins us. Ruben Yorke with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Hey everybody, Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate. So you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery. So you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA, from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
I'm sorry about that crazy crack, disc jockey crack about good vibrations, but in the 60s, that was a popular song.
That was very popular.
Ruben Duarte. The book is called Aliens in the Forest. Okay. So when did this occur again?
The incident where he experienced the UFO sighting was in 1967 or 68, if memory recalls. I I don't have the exact date here, but it was some years after the encounter.
Any other encounters after these two?
Well, there was a strange episode that's told by his wife where they were again camping and they were in their tent late at night and it was totally dark. They felt a presence. They heard a rustling noises and they felt a presence inside the tent. They kind of huddled together in their sleeping bags and they just didn't want to deal with whatever might be there in the tent with them. And so they kind of just didn't do anything, just kind of weathered the storm, and then nothing further happened. So they weren't sure if it might have been some kind of wild animal that had gotten in their tent, but they had this feeling that there was a presence in that tent with them.
It gets a little more messier after this in dealing with his report to the United States Air Force, which if we're already past now this aspect of it,
Point did he report this to the Air Force?
Well, that's a very interesting question because it was not his intent to seek out any publicity about this. He was worried about his job with the missile defense contracting firm that he worked with. And he did mention only to his immediate family members what had happened. And his mother-in-law happened to know a former college professor of hers who was an astronomer. So the mother-in-law, arranged for Mr. Shrum to speak to this astronomer there in the Sacramento area. And so Mr. Shrum spoke to him by phone about his encounter, and then they went to see him also in person. Well, this gentleman turned around and contacted one of the local Air Force bases to tell them, actually wrote a letter telling them about Mr. Shrum's encounter. Well, as a result of this, two Air Force investigators were sent. A meeting was arranged with Mr. Shrum and two investigators that they later found out had been dispatched out of Wright-Patterson Air Base in Dayton, Ohio, which at that time was the center of the world when it came to government UFO investigations. That was where Project Blue Book was run out of. That was where a lot of folks have said that there were a lot of odd UFO-related investigations being done by the government at that time. Well, at least two investigators.
Was this particular case, now I don't seem to recall this was ever part of Blue Book.
Case. There were a lot of things that were part of Blue Book that were not disclosed to the public. They only disclosed.
But officially, this was not a Blue Book case. And I could see why they would keep it secret because of the Aerojet witnesses. But to my recollection, this is not an official Blue Book case.
They did not release it to the public. There were a lot of cases that were investigated, looked at by Blue Book, and were not released for public consumption. They tended to release only the weaker cases that had the easiest explanations, conventional explanations, and they kept back the real puzzlers for which there seemed to be.
The fact that the Air Force dispatched Air Force officers to investigate the case and it wasn't part of Blue Book, I mean, that lends credence to the case in my estimation.
Right. Now, Dr. J.
You also have to wonder, before you go on, that being the case, how many sightings did Blue Book gather that never got into any of those reports?
Exactly. If we read the materials written by J. Allen Hynek, who was the lead scientific investigator for Project Blue Book for years, for the whole time of its existence, and afterward he became one of the leading spokesmen for UFO research and became a civilian UFO researcher himself. If you read his statements after leaving Blue Book, it becomes clear, and he said it himself, that Blue Book was not an agency that was really trying to get at the mystery of the UFOs. Their purpose was to try to allay public fears and suspicions and to just put out the cases that were extremely easy to talk about and to circumvent and give conventional explanations for. So he himself was very, very high on the Shrum case, and he did a lot of the investigation into it. So he knew that there was something really solid and credible here, just as he did with the Pascagoula, Mississippi case.
Because of it, we're running short on time. The thing that made this very interesting is that the Shrums did meet with these two Air Force officials, and he explained to them what had happened, but they didn't believe him. They were coming up with a number of excuses. They were saying that perhaps these, it could have been caused by a group of Boy Scouts who were young teenagers that were out there in the woods doing a prank. Or
was gassing somebody. That's always something that teenagers do.
And the most ridiculous was that they could have been these, Japanese soldiers.
Yeah, there could have been some holdover Japanese soldiers from World War II still hanging around in the woods there, causing havoc upon poor Americans who happened to be hunting in the woods. So yeah, that was another explanation that was shot out there.
This stuff is wacky. It sounds
very strange. Yes, and well, here's the thing: is that Don and his brother and some friends, they returned back to the site about 2-3 weeks later. They found the tree. They found it where the charred markings from the fire. But the thing that really caught their attention was the fact that that entire area was raked. It was picked clean. They found a bunch of cigarette butts, cigarette packages. And they just knew that the Air Force or some military large task group was there.
We have a really interesting clip on that from Mr. Shrum, if we would have time for it.
Sure.
On the Air Force investigation, so-called, talking to the U.S. Air Force. Okay.
I'll tell you what, we'll do that in the next segment because we don't have much time left before we have to spend a little time with our benefactors, but it'd be interesting to get his reaction. Talking to the Air Force, Donald Trump, and his encounter with them and the way they reacted to the case, and as you were telling me, of course, their efforts to explain it away, oh, it's nothing, don't worry about it, it's swamp gas. That's before swamp gas. We didn't have swamp gas then.
Japanese.
Japanese soldiers.
Oh, that's wacky. Or maybe just some of the ones that they interned during World War II. They escaped finally.
California.
You know, George Takei was there. That's it. Sulu came over. It was all Sulu's fault. George Takei.
Spielberg's movie, 1941.
Donald Shrum is the witness we've been hearing from. We're hearing also from Noe Torres, Ruben Duarte, authors of Aliens in the Forest. This is got to be one of the more fascinating cases we've heard. You know, it's something that, not just something flying overhead or someone being abducted, but hours and hours of being terrorized by who knows what these creatures were. I think Chris O'Brien there is channeling his inner trickster. You never know. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order world government?
These and other crucial end time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from End Time Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280, but now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Did you ever think you'd be where you are, a decade into the 21st century? Record foreclosure rates for homes, if not yours, your neighbors. Thankful for the unemployment check since you were laid off. And placing your child's name on the angel tree in hopes of a Christmas gift, along with thousands of other Americans. Did you ever think your future would feel this out of control? The fact is, in all this craziness, there's only one thing you can control. Your greatest dependency, your food supply. Make 2012 the year you take control by getting prepared. eFoods Direct introduces the best way to build your food supply in the 21st century. Get a 21-day supply of food free with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Take back control in 2012. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Remember, you can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
As we continue with our discussion of the encounters of Donald Trump, the book Aliens in the Forest with Noe Torres and Ruben Duarte, we do have a segment here where Donald Trump discusses his meetings with the Air Force back in the 1960s when Project Blue Book was really here and how they reacted. Let's hear that.
Then what happened afterwards, Don? How did you talk to anyone else about your...
Well, my family, I told them. And then the only outside person at that time was a professor at one of the colleges. And my mother-in-law had gone... It was her professor when she was younger. So we told him the story, and he's the one that contacted the Air Force.
So what happened there, John, for the Air Force?
Well, they made an appointment with two postmen representatives of the Air Force, and they tried to disillusion me. They said, well, you know, the Japanese might have had somebody up there, you know, they were still, you know, and they said there was Boy Scouts dressed up, you know, in costumes just to scare somebody. And I said, yeah, I'm sure they're going to spend all night and keep a guy in a tree, you know. And, then they said, well, the Army probably bivouacked up there and it was in a training camp. So my father-in-law was in the Air Force, so he called and found out there was no military in that area for any reason, because it was a pretty desolate area. And they tried to disillusion me in every way they could. And they took the Arrowhead, the main one, and... They said, well, we'll get back to you and you can have this back as soon as we get through with it, which I never did. But when I went back up there during rifle season, I found the other arrow, the third one.
You found two then, and then you found the,
yeah,
the other one.
And when we went back, the area had been raked. There's an area probably 50 feet around that tree, and there was cigarette packages and cigar butts, and so I know the Air Force checked it out pretty good. And they had an easy way to find it, because there's an orange circle around that tree that where it caught little fires, and it was showing orange, so they had no problem finding it. And I marked on the map that they had where it was, the location.
Interesting here, of course, how careless the Air Force is. You know, they leave cigarettes, they leave cigarette packs. You almost think they wanted to be caught.
Well, they took a bunch of guys, you know, on a detail and didn't give them any information. They just said, you know, rake this place up, you know, clean it up. So they had no idea what they were doing. And it makes sense. We've had similar accounts by witnesses in the past where everything is pretty much raked clean. And Mr. Shrum said there were definitely footprints all around the area, very strange little footprints, you know, prior to the Air Force coming in and cleaning everything up. So,
were any photographs taken when they went back up there during rifle season? Did anyone think of bringing a camera along?
Yeah, in our book, there's a whole bunch of pictures that were taken by Mr. Shrum and his brother. You know, they took pictures of the tree and the surrounding area. But by that time, of course, the Air Force had been there and there wasn't much left. And also in the clip, he mentioned that the Air Force had taken the one arrowhead that had definite trace evidence of it. On it from having struck the robot creature. It had, first of all, it had been bent over, you know.
I'm assuming it was a metal arrowhead, because it sparked when it
It sparked and it curled up from the force of hitting this robot, and it had pieces of some kind of or shavings or traces of something from the surface of that robot creature. So Mr. Shrum felt that one arrow had the best chance of being analyzed in a lab and found to contain whatever materials these creatures were made of. You know,
I have a bizarre question. It just occurred to me, guys. Okay, so the Air Force obviously made an intense investigation of this. Did you folks ever try to send the Freedom of Information inquiry to see if there's any documentation?
Actually, Mr. Cerny and Mr. Shrum did, you know, it's in the late 60s, and
okay.
we have some of those documents. We have a number of correspondences between the Air Force and the civilian UFO investigators with NICAP and later MUFON. But basically, they kind of shuffled this under piles of papers, and they classified it as psychological. That was you know, after they gathered everything and talked to the witness, they explained it away as being a psychological case.
So basically, he had a 12-hour freakout.
Yeah. Well, no. He was up there, and he stumbled on some panther amanitas, or they probably didn't have cows up there, so probably there were no cubensis, but maybe some amanita. I mean, they could explain this away with a variety of plants in the Sierras, but... But Gene, we both know that the Air Force has a way of ascribing ridiculous interpretations of cases back in this time period. So I personally feel that something happened to the guy based on just listening to the tape recordings.
So straightforward.
Yeah,
he sounds really credible. Like, okay, this is what happened to me. Here we go. And the fact
I like his little chuckles when he says something kind of almost absurd. You know, he chuckles like, oh well.
Yeah. He's a very down to earth individual. You know,
I'm very intrigued by this whole thing. I want to know more.
I think we'd like to have him on the show.
Yeah.
Would he be willing, do you think, to come on the show?
I would love to talk to this guy. This is fabulous stuff, man.
Sure.
Is there a way that we can get any sort of FOIA in regards to that arrow? Man, because you're right, that has probably had, you know, really definable physical evidence on it.
Well, the last correspondence between the Air Force and the Shrums in the early 70s, I believe, the Air Force claimed that they no longer had it in their possession, that it had been given to a university somewhere, and then the Shrums tried to trace it at that university, and and couldn't. Ruben, do you have any additional details on that?
Pretty much what you mentioned there, Noe. And something real quickly, do you remember that television show called Project UFO back in 1978 that was produced by Jack Webb? Do you recall
this
that?
This was something where investigators of UFO cases, and it was like Joe Friday.
No, yes. Exactly. But they were,
and Officer Frank Smith, but chasing UFOs instead of criminals.
That's what it was, yeah.
Well, they were with Project Blue Book, and there were the two Air Force officers that went around. I think there were about 36 episodes that were produced, and they actually did do a whole episode on the Cisco Grove case, although it was totally distorted.
It was laughable. It was laughable, and it was very clear that a lot of these Project UFO episodes were meant to bolster the Blue Book view of what had happened. And interestingly enough,
that's what Jack Webb was like. Jack Webb would always go to the official sources to get information.
Exactly.
That's what he did with Dragnet. He made Dragnet as close as possible to the actual experiences of the LA Police Department.
But the Cisco Grove episode of that show was so laughable, they actually dragged out of mothballs the suit that was used of Robbie the Robot from the classic movie Fantastic Planet in the 50s.
I love it.
Forbidden Planet was the movie, and of course that was the same costume they used in Lost in Space, believe it or not.
And
Will Robinson. Oh, by the way, the actor who did that voice, Danger Will Robinson, he died recently. Anyway, we're talking about the case of Donald Shrum. With Ruben Huarte and Noe Torres. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Barrack Guys.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free. Sent right to your mailbox, plus a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to FakeTV.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. 65, so get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro plant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
There's the robotic Chris O'Brien. I'm serious. The guy who did the voice, Danger Will Robinson, I forget the announcer's name, very famous announcer, no longer with us. On a more serious note, we've heard of the recent passing of longtime UFO investigator Lucius Farish, who is a friend of mine, and we are sad to see him go. And, of course, we send our sympathies to his many friends around the world, Lucius Farish. We have Noe Torres, Ruben Yuarte. We're talking about the case of Donald Trump, aliens in the forest. Now, this is the final segment of the show, so let's go through some of the issues pretty quickly. Over the years, once this happened, what do you think are the long-term effects to his life, other than just remembering something pretty frightening?
Well, the interesting thing about it, as we had talked about earlier when we first started the show, in fact, is that Mr. Shrum has a vivid recall of the entire experience, even these many years afterward.
Does he still have the nightmares you talked about in the early years?
Well, no. Those only lasted a couple of years. He underwent the hypnotic regression, and that helped him to kind of step out of himself and look at the whole picture that was going on that night. And, you know, he got this peace of mind of knowing that the aliens had never reached him. And after that, he was a lot more calm and settled about it. However, as Ruben has described, he always gets this reaction from when he tells a story. There's a definite physical reaction, and Ruben can talk more about that.
Yeah. Again, yeah, just looking at his body language and him stating what had happened to him, you could see that this man has been definitely affected by something that happened many years ago, but it's still alive with him right now.
We have a really good clip, if we have time for it, on the after effects of the encounter. I don't know if we could squeeze that in.
I'll tell you what, I'm an expert squeezer.
All right.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do some magic here.
Yeah,
and
that's what
we're going to
me.
Squeeze. Let me just, you know, press it a little bit tighter, do some audible squeezing, and we're now going to hear the after effects.
I'd like to go there. I just wanted to ask you, how has this affected you? Did you have any nightmares or any...
Well, for a year, I had screaming nightmares. I mean, I'd wake up yelling, those eyes, and I'd be just a cold sweat, just be drenched with sweat. And I even thought about, when I was up in the top of that tree, I thought about just jumping off and jumping down the canyon and just killing myself. But the only thing that kept me going is I had the little girl, my wife, and that kept me fighting.
Oh, wow. That's some way to react to it right there.
The thing that he said to us in the final interview is, hey, I won. They didn't take me.
Man, he's still here. Did he ever want to try to do his own UFO investigation, you know, talk to other people who had experiences?
Reuben had all the materials that they collected for years afterward about almost every major case in the U.S. and many from around the world. So they kept clippings of, and they were especially looking for similar events that had robot connections that were similar to what Don. So they've maintained this search and this focus on trying to understand what happened to Mr. Shrum. And in fact, that's one of the primary motivations they had for having us put this into the form of a book and getting the story finally out to the general public, because they want to know to this day what it was exactly that he encountered and what explanations, if any, can be found about it.
After all this time, did they contact you or did you contact them?
Reuben made the initial contact. He can.
Yeah, I actually was through another former colleague who knew them, and as I mentioned earlier, I had the case files, and then when she had told me that she knew them, and then she had arranged the meeting for me to go and talk to them, and actually they were very kind to invite me over and spend time with them, so. They, as it turned out, and I was just very fortunate to team up with Noe to put this into a book, this is exactly what they wanted. They wanted to get the story out and told by them how it happened.
Very much their description. Fascinating, fascinating story, and certainly something that is going to deserve a lot of explanation, and we're glad he's still around to tell us all about it. Is he willing to come on a show like this?
We could ask if not his son, or he is going through, unfortunately, some health issues. And
all right.
So we're not quite sure how we would handle it. But we're just very lucky that we had the audio and the film clips that we had put together and back in 2005, which we had been able to use the material for our book and all the other additional documents that were given to us from the family.
Reuben and Noe, really, thank you so much for putting the time in on this case. This is a fascinating, I think a very important case, and you guys have done a really good job based on, my limited knowledge of this. I am really intrigued about this case, and I want to know more. Tell us about the book a little bit and how people can get copies. And would you guys be willing to come on the Paracast Forum and enter into a dialogue with our forum posters? This is going to generate an incredible amount of interest. And if you guys can squeeze some time out, it would be great to have you guys interact with some of our posters who are very, very up to speed.
Yeah, that sounds great. We'd like to do that, definitely. And our book, Aliens in the Forest, The Cisco Grove UFO Encounter, is available from Amazon.com and all of the major online booksellers. And it's also available through our website, as well as additional information about Mr. Shrum. We have some video testimony from him, and we have some information on our other books at RoswellBooks.com. That's RoswellBooks.com. And it's interesting because Reuben and I have either individually or collectively helped each other, and we've put out 7 books already on the UFO phenomenon, and we've gotten the most reaction from Aliens in the Forest. It seems that there's a tremendous amount of interest in this particular case. I think the authenticity of it, the genuineness of the witness, and the massive amount of documentation really, really bolsters this case.
The one thing I think our listeners have to appreciate here is the fact that unlike a lot of cases where everything is pretty academic or someone says, well, this person told me or this is what happened, you heard, ladies and gentlemen, in his own words, Donald Shrum telling you exactly what he experienced, all the details. So this is the one thing that separates this particular story from a lot of others, because now you can evaluate what you think. I mean, my impression is this guy's a straight shooter. Something really weird happened to him. He's not just telling a story. You know when people are telling stories. And this guy is not telling a story. He's just trying to relate what really happened to him. The book is called Aliens in the Forest, The Cisco Grove UFO Encounter. Our guests have been Noe Torres and Ruben Uarte, and they have this site, roswellbooks.com. We'll have a link to it at theparacast.com. And that's where they have this book available and other books. And, of course, you order directly from them. They get the extra piece of money that Amazon would otherwise take, so we are grateful to let them have it. Chris O'Brien's got a place, too. Chris, tell us about your site.
Well, it's called The Paracast, but we're revamping Our Strange Planet. And I also want to put a nod out to the Mexican Roswell book, too, which I think Paracast listeners would really gain some very interesting insight into an intriguing little-known case.
And maybe we'll have you back on for that. We definitely want to talk to you again.
Absolutely. You guys, thank you so much for being on. This is really good good stuff. I mean, please do come to the forum, all right?
Thank you very much, Chris and Gene, for your invitation, having us on. And it's an honor being on your show. And we look forward to connecting with your audience.
Yes, thank you so much.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.